Welcome to Restoration Road Online. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Happy Easter, Restoration Road. Today we are going to finish our sermon series entitled, Not Afraid. We're going to focus on not being afraid of death. We hear about death all around us. Death tolls, the potential of death. And we really want to look into what Jesus says about confronting death. What should be our posture when it comes to the reality of death? Even when there's not pandemics, there's always the potential of losing loved ones. And we all know that one day we will pass away. But the question is, how should we approach death as a believer in Jesus Christ? And the resounding answer is, the firm answer, the direct answer from Jesus is, we should not be afraid of death. I want to begin with a hope-filled story about a man who actually contracted the coronavirus. He was in the ICU for 12 days. The doctor finally came in and said, we can't do anything else. We've done everything we could. And the doctor left the room, and that night was the hardest night of him facing this virus. But he heard the Lord speaking to his heart, impressing on his heart. The Holy Spirit was speaking to him, saying, you're getting better. You're getting better. And he held on to that faith. And around 3 a.m., he felt, this is how he describes it, testifies about it. He felt the breath of God come into his lungs. And he felt himself being healed. He felt the virus leaving his system. Then the doctor came back in the next day and he was amazed that he was so much better. This guy would say that God healed him. He left in a short time, he left the hospital. It was a wonderful testimony of God's presence, of his healing power, and of someone being on the brink of death and being brought back to life. And that's the theme I want us to focus on today. Because the person in our story today actually didn't just almost die. He died. Lazarus. He passed away. He was ill. He passed away. But Jesus came to his tomb and he said, come forth. And Lazarus rose from the dead. And Jesus declares himself the resurrection and the life. And my prayer today is that we have deeper assurance that we should not be afraid of death. I also pray that many people who are dead spiritually are brought to life in Jesus Christ. So we're going to read from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. If you could turn in your Bibles there or on your devices, or you can just read along. That's John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. And it says this. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That's the word of God. So today we're going to focus on 3 things. What does it look like to not be afraid of death? Why we should not be afraid of death? And who should not be afraid of death? And during this sermon, I will refer to passages before, in the chapter before, about Lazarus' resurrection, and the passages after, give the whole story, but we'll focus on Jesus being the resurrection and the life. So let's begin here. What does it look like to not be afraid of death? And we're really going to look at Jesus' response to death, because people went to him. He was a few towns away, and they told Jesus that his good friend Lazarus, they told him he was ill. And Jesus does not panic. It actually takes him two more days to go to where Lazarus is. He's poised. And he actually says these words that I love to read to you from the chapter before. They're words filled with faith and hope and authority. He says, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." See, the confidence that Jesus had was because he was and is the resurrection and the life. He has the power over death. And you see, all throughout his ministry here on earth, he heals people. And he tells us that it's for the glory of God at times. We see when there was a blind man who had been blind all his life, and his disciples say, "This man is blind because of a sin he has committed, maybe. Or maybe because of his father's sin. Or maybe because of his grandfather's sin." And Jesus says, "No, this man has gone through this illness so that the glory of God might be displayed by me healing him. That the Son of God might be glorified in this moment." And that's the poise he had when he approached even Lazarus' tomb. He actually raises him from the dead and says, "Did I not tell you that this was for the glory of God?" He does not panic once when confronted with death. He saw illness and potential death as an opportunity to have great faith. And I want us to have great faith in this time. Yes, there are many challenges. Yes, there is much to fear. But it's also an opportunity not to panic, but to have great faith. And people who are not afraid of death do not panic because they trust the providential care and the providential will of God the Father. The second thing we see is Martha's weeping. She's weeping because her brother has passed away, someone she loved very dearly. Her friends come to comfort her, but she's weeping and she's grieving. And Jesus, in his humanity, both being fully God and fully man, he weeps. It's actually the shortest verse in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. And if you read in the passage after, it says he was troubled in spirit. See, to not be afraid of death does not mean that we disconnect any human emotion and that we don't grieve. We still grieve like Jesus when people pass away. We grieve that there's death all around us. We grieve that there's even death in the world. We know that there's only death in this world because of the sin of man. But we do not grieve as those who do not believe in God. We grieve with hope. We grieve with faith that one day those we lose, we will see again in God's heavenly kingdom. We will see them again in heaven. We will see them again in the presence of God. We grieve with hope because we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that he has conquered death. So what it looks like to not be afraid of death is, first, we do not panic because we trust God's providential care. And second, we weep, we grieve over death, but we grieve with hope. So let's talk a little bit more about why we should not be afraid of death. And I want you to hear this, these words of Jesus that gives the huge why we shouldn't be afraid of death. Jesus answers Martha and he says, though he die, yet shall he live. Though he die, yet shall he live. See, Jesus knows he is the resurrection and the life. He knows he is the Son of God. He knows he's divine. He knows he has the power over death. He has authority over the grave. He knows that even when he speaks the words, Lazarus come forth, that death has no more claim to Lazarus. And he knows that through his life, through his death and resurrection, that he will offer eternal life to all who believe. And today on Easter, he knows that. See, we know that the grave could not hold him because he was sinless. The grave could not hold him because he had committed no treachery, no trespasses. He had perfectly loved God, his Father, and perfectly loved his neighbor. It was the first time when Jesus was murdered, when he was crucified, it was the first time a sinless person was put in the tomb. Death and the grave were confronted with something that they had never been confronted with before. A sinless burial. And the grave and death could not hold him because of this truth. And I'm going to share a story with you from a series of books that I hope helps us understand a little bit more the gospel and why the grave could not hold Jesus. It's from the Chronicles of Narnia. And in the Chronicles of Narnia, there is this lion who represents Jesus. So when C.S. Lewis wrote these books, he was a Christian man. He wrote the lion Aslan in as a representative of who Jesus is. And Aslan was the king, if you would, of Narnia. And there was a boy in the story named Edmund, and he has siblings. I don't know all their names. I know one of their names is Peter. But Edmund betrayed his siblings. He gave into the deception of the White Witch, who is the villain in the story. And because Edmund was a traitor, committed treachery, metaphorically was a great sinner, the White Witch had claimed to him on what is the stone table, which represents the law in the world of Narnia. Edmund deserved execution because he was a traitor. And if he wasn't executed, the law was written into the creation of the world that the White Witch had the right to turn the world into fire and water, basically destroy the world if Edmund did not pay with his life. Basically what we hear in the Bible, the wages of sin are death. But something wonderful happens. Aslan steps in to take Edmund's place. He is innocent. He's committed no treason. He is not a traitor. And he steps in Edmund's stead. And as he's walking to that stone table, all his enemies, all the forces of evil are reveling, screaming in victory. They rip out his mane. They beat him. They mock him. They spit on him. They lay him on the table. They tie him down and they murder him. They thought they had victory over him. But what they didn't realize is this wonderful inscription written on the stone table, actually written by Aslan's father before he created the world. It read like this: if a willing victim that has committed no treachery is killed in a traitor's stead, the stone table will crack and even death itself would turn backwards. Do you see the gospel there? Jesus, innocent, takes our place on the cross, our great substitute. No sin committed. No trespass committed. Perfectly pure, sinless was our Savior on the cross. And he was murdered and put in that grave. And the grave could not hold him because he was pure, he was innocent, and he overcame death and the grave. And that's why we celebrate his resurrection power today, because anyone who believes in Jesus, in his death and in his resurrection, the Bible tells us will have eternal life. Which leads us to our third point. Who should not be afraid of death? And Jesus gives us a direct answer. In verse 25, whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked Martha, do you believe this? And she answered with a faith-filled response. She says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. And I'll paraphrase here. She was saying, you have come into the world to rescue the world. So we see the ingredients there. She says, I believe. I'm filled with faith. I believe you are the Christ, which means the anointed one of God, the chosen one to rescue us. She also says, I believe you are the Son of God. She's recognizing his divinity, that he's the Son of God. And finally, she says, I believe that you're here to save us. And I want to ask you today, do you believe this? You see, the person who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the person who believes that Jesus was born into this world to save this world should never, ever be afraid of death. See, death thought it had great victory. Death thought it had buried the giver of life, the promiser of life, the author of life. It boasted for 3 days that had defeated the Son of God. But on that third day, our Heavenly Father looked down from his throne in heaven. He was pleased with the Son. He had accomplished his mission. He had been sinless. He had loved perfectly. He had laid down his life for the sins of the world so anyone who believed in him could live eternally. In the Holy Spirit, in divine power, rushed into the human body of Jesus and breathed divine breath into his lungs. His eyes opened. He stepped away from the tomb. He walked among us. People saw him. They touched him. They heard from him. He taught them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. They were with the risen Christ. Then he ascended in power and said, one day I will return to make all things new. Jesus is alive. And he offers life to anyone who believes in him. So Restoration Road, we should not be afraid of death because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what power there is in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. He is alive. Today he is alive. He is enthroned. He is looking down on us in his sovereignty. And we love that we are alive now in him. And we can live forever in his grace and mercy and power. In his resurrection power, Lord. For those of us who already believe, Lord, I want to thank you for your gift of faith. For those who are considering you, even right now, I pray that they would believe with all their heart in your resurrection. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Sunday's sermon at Restoration Road. We hope it blessed you and invite you to join us for next service at 10 a.m. on Sunday. God bless.